The girl carrying a ladder. I'll mention that Louis Vuitton comes into this poem. On the same day, I read about the luxury goods company that has produced a punching bag you can buy for $175,000. I see the photograph of the girl who carries a ladder with her each morning when she goes to school. To scale the wall of my own understanding of why a punching bag would cost so much, I have to think about why I'm attracted to that punching bag the way some people are attracted to pink kittens, or the way some people are attracted to camouflage, or the way some people are attracted to their gods. I want that punching bag the way the girl carrying the ladder wants to go to school. Relentless, single-minded, absurd. Carrying the ladder that is twice or three times as tall as she is. Leaning the ladder against the wall that separates her from her school. The girl goes up the ladder as though it were something she did every day, which she does. When I think of a punching bag, I think of sex. When I think of a ladder, I think of picking apples. When I think of the girl carrying the ladder to go to school, I think of my neighborhood's girls carrying pink camouflage backpacks, not knowing about the armies that the camouflage stands for. The logo of the luxury brand is printed all over the punching bag, the way camouflage is all over us. Camouflage bedsheets, camouflage cell phone covers, camouflage shirts in neon colors that everyone wears, even the people who vote against guns. We live in paradox and we prosper. We live in paradox and we thrive. What I can't figure out is how the girl deals with the barbed wire at the top of the wall she has to go over, or what her ladder weighs, or what she does with the ladder when she gets to school. Does she put it against the wall with the other ladders, the way kids put their bikes in bike racks at school? What I can't figure out is why two men who look like gods would want to break down the wall of each other's faces, knowing there's only blood on the other side, or why apples are the fruit children bring to their teachers, and why it isn't coconuts or grapefruit, or why the neighborhood girls, on their way to school each morning, carry backpacks that are so heavy, it looks like they are carrying the world. My grandmother died last year at 92, and she has ended up being a very strong presence in the book that I've just finished. And this next poem is about her, but it begins with Keats. And the title of the poem is The Grasshopper and the Cricket. And some of you might recognize that because it's the title of a very famous sonnet by Keats called On the Grasshopper and the Cricket. And if you don't recognize the title, you'll recognize his first line, which is, "The poetry of earth is never dead." The grasshopper and the cricket. The poetry of earth is a 90-year-old woman in front of a slot machine in a casino in California. She is wearing a gray dress, her sharp red lipstick in two lines across her mouth, put there by a daughter. Like Gertrude Stein's, her hair is cut close. Nearby is her wheelchair, painted blue like a boy's bicycle. It is a weekday in March. The casino is the size of a hangar that could house a dozen airplanes. But it is thousands of machines that fill the eye, an event of light and color. The sentences she now speaks, are like the sentences of Gertrude Stein, but without the ironies of art. Her mind is like a compressed accordion, the farthest points now near, more present than the present. Waiting, I am at the food court, reading a magazine article about the languages that the world is losing, the languages spoken only by a few remaining people, or by one remaining person, or lost completely, except for the grainy recordings in archives, mysterious as the sounds made by extinct birds. The reels on her slot machine spin, but their symbols never match. She is playing the 1 cent slots, and her money will go far into the afternoon. And because waiting is thinking, I am thinking of the eternity Keats writes about in his sonnet about the grasshopper and the cricket, ceasing never in the hedges and meadows, in the evening stove, the grasshopper of summer, the cricket of winter.